Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Samach Gimel. We left off in daf Samach Beis and Beis 4 lines from the bottom of the page. We are at the Amar Rabba. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Alea Shalom, and Shama Shevin Aliyah, also by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss, if a person is selling a land and leaving a portion for himself, when do we assume that he's leaving half of the land for himself? And when do we assume he's just leaving a portion of the land for himself that is less than half? And the Gemara is going to go through different fractions of the land that may or may not be included in a sale when he uses various lashonos of what exactly he is selling. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a person makes a tanai that is either impossible or unnecessary, how does one interpret such a tanai? Meaning, if it's impossible, it's obviously not meant to be fulfilled. If it's unnecessary, it's unnecessary. So why did he say it? So he must have meant something by it. So how does one interpret such a tanai? The Gemara is going to then discuss how exactly to formulate the language of a shtar when you're not only selling the property, you're also selling bor vidus, you're selling any water holes that you might have in the property. So how does one express that to include that in the sale? Does one say mitom arava adrom rakia? What does that imply exactly? What's assumed if you don't say mitom arava adrom rakia? So the Gemara is going to discuss that and bring several rayas to a particular shita of Rav Dimi on that issue, and that will bring us to the end of the daf. So let's begin 4 lines from the end of the page on daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. V'amar Rabba Meitzer Ara Demina Palga. If a person says the border of the land Demina Palga, that the karka that I'm selling half of it is cut off. So the lokeach is kona palga. He's kona half of the field because he said that chalukah in that mechira. That chalukah meant chatzi. Palga means chatzi, it means half. So he says, these are the borders of the land, and from it you get palga, so you get chatzi. Meitzer ara dimina psika, but if he doesn't say palga, he uses a different lashon. He says the karka, that is mufsak, that is cut off from the field that I'm selling you. So the lokeach is only kona tisha kabin. He's only kona 9 kav next to the space that's necessary to plant 9 kav on the western side of that field, let's say, because the lashon of psika it indicates to us a smaller portion of the field that is divided off or that is portioned off than half, and that smaller portion is 9 kav. So Amalei Abaye, Maishna Hachi. That was the statement of Rabba that made such a distinction between Palga and Psika. But Abaye said, I don't see a difference. Why should it be a difference whether you use the Lashon of Palga or whether you use the Lashon of Psika? So Ishtik, Rabba had nothing to respond. He didn't say anything back. Savar Mina, the Talmidim understood from Abaye that what was Abaye driving at when he said, Maishna Hachi, Maishna Hachi? What should the halacha be in both cases? Should the halacha be in both cases that it's palga, or should the halacha be in both cases that it's tisha kavin? So the Talmidim understood that what he meant was EDVED palga. Whether you say demina palga, whether you say demina psika, the guy gets half of the field, because psika implies something that's cut into two, that's split into two. Vilohi. But in fact, that is not what Abaye meant. Rather, what Abaye meant is whether you say palga or whether you say psika, sometimes you kona half of the field and sometimes you kona tishakavit, meaning there's no automatic. Just based on the word palga or psika, you do not have enough information to know whether he's selling half or whether he's selling tisha kavin. There's another criteria by which we measure whether he's selling half or whether he's selling tisha kavin. He said, I heard Abaye explain these halachos, that bein meitzar ara demina palga, whether he writes in the shtar, the meitzar ara demina palga I'm selling you, ubein meitzar ara demina psika, or whether he says mitzar dimina psika. I amar le ilin mitzarnaha palga. Lo amar le ilin mitzarnaha tishakabin. Ooh, the criteria is if after he marks off and he identifies the four borders of the field that we are speaking of, he then writes to the lokeach in the shtar, Ilin mitzanoha, these are the borders of the field, so that is an extra lashon in the shtar that's unnecessary. You just identified the borders in the field. Why then would you add the phrase ilin mitzanoha? So that yisur lashon is coming to be miyapa koach hakona. It's coming to make the kona have a more of a claim than he otherwise would have had to the field, and therefore palga. That's where he's going to get half of the field. That's where we assume you're giving him half of what you got. But lo amale ilin mitzarnaha, but if you didn't add any extra language to indicate to him that you're trying to be especially generous with him, then it's only going to be tishakabin. Then we assume that all he's going to receive in the field is tishakabin. He's not going to get half of the field. So whereas Rabba distinguished whether you said meitzar ara demina palga versus meitzar ara demina psika, Abaye distinguishes whether you added an extra phrase identifying the borders or didn't add the extra phrase, but nothing to do with a chilik between palga versus psika. So now the Gemara discusses, you have a shchiv meira, or someone who's otherwise giving out his possessions, and he doesn't say exactly what he's giving. So pshita, the following is the davar pashut. If you have a shchiv meira who's instructing about what's going to be with his possessions, or stam, a healthy person that is otherwise giving out his possessions, that's how the Rashbam explains that mechalik nechasav al piv is mentioned in the Mishnah on Kufnun Vav Amud Aleph, and there's machlok zushon, the Rashi holds, we're talking about someone who's mechalik nechasav while he's still alive to his children in a way that's uneven, so he's trying to make it that it's not going to just fall to regular Dina Yerusha. And the Yad Ramah says we're talking about mechalik to someone who's not ro'i liyarsho, and that's why he's trying to make it not normal Dina Yerusha. So it's someone who's giving out his nechasim, and the reason he has to do this and not just wait till he dies and let it go where it goes is because he doesn't want it to go where it just goes. He wants to make sure that he has a will. So this is his halachic will. So Amar, if the guy says Yachlok Ploni bin Chasai Palga, if he says Yachlok Ploni, let Ploni get Yachlok in my Nechasim, so then the guy's going to get half of the Nechasim, because Yachlok means to divide, but not just to divide, but to divide evenly. Tenu chelek leploni b'nechasai, but if he says to give a chelek of my nechasim to ploni, my, what's the din? Do we assume chelek means a chaluka, and he also gets chatzi of the nechasim? Or do we assume, no, chelek means a sizable portion, and Bezin's going to have to figure out what exactly a sizable portion is. The Rashbam wonders about this suffix that the Gemara has. There is a Tosefta that's mefurish, that if a person says, tenu chelek leploni b'nechasai, so whoever that ploni is yoresh im habanim, that he gets a chelek the same way all of the banim get a chelek, meaning however we divide the estate among his yarshim, so now we have one extra yoresh that divides the estate, because it's not mistaber that the father is going to give some stranger more than he's going to give to his children. So the Rashbam is bothered, how come the Gemara didn't realize that? The Gemara thinks that he's going to give him a chatzi of his nechasim, and the guy's got five kids, and each of them, and they're going to have to split up the other chatzi? It's a Tosefta that says beferish not that way. Tosefta says you would never want to give a stranger more than you're giving to your own children. So the Rashbam says that there are four different ways to resolve this problem. Number one, he says, the Tosefta's talking about when you have children. So of course you don't want to be mafsid the zchus of your children. So therefore, he's going to get like the children. The Gemara's talking about a case where the guy doesn't have any children. And even if he has other yorshim, maybe taka, he doesn't want to give to the other yorshim. Maybe he has a best friend that he'd rather that friend or someone that he knows, that he'd rather that person get rather than his nephew or his grandnephew or someone that maybe he has a more limited relationship. Meaning this chazaka that the Tosefta says that he wouldn't want his nechasim to go to someone at the expense of his children, that's something that might be true about children, might not be true about other relatives. Second possibility, says the Rashbam, the Gemara is talking about in a case that from the Nosein, it's clear that he does not want to make him equal with others. He says, Tenu chelek leploni ben chasai, v'ashar nesunim leploni, and the rest will go to Ploni. So you can't just say that he gets the same as everybody else, because it sounds like he's saying he, Dafka, doesn't want it to be the same as everybody else. Third possibility, says Rashbam, maybe in the Beis Medrash where they had the discussion of our Gemara, they never heard of that Tosefta. Not every Tosefta made it to every Beis Medrash, so maybe they never heard of that that Tosefta. And finally, he suggests, maybe the Tosefta was Yadua to the Chachmei Beis HaMedrash, but nevertheless, maybe they rejected it, because Sumchus is Cholek on the Tosefta. He holds Mamun HaMutl B'Safik is Cholkin, and we Paskin like Sumchus. So those are the four ways the Rashbam is Miyashev, the Stira between our Gemara and the Tosefta. The Rush is Miyashev, that the Tosefta is talking about a Shchiv that's mitzvah about his nechasim, whereas our Gemara is about a bari, meaning we had said when we introduced our Gemara, it could be either one. It could be a shchiv mera, it could be a healthy person. So Tosfos says, no, it can't be either one. It's talking about dafka a bari. So when he says, yitol ploni chelek b'nechasai, so if he's a shchiv mera, he's trying to say what should be after he dies, so probably he doesn't want this guy to get any more than his children are going to get in the Yerusha. But if he's a bari, then the guy's going to get some other percentage. And then the Ritva has another way of being miyashiv, that the Gemara is talking about where he's mitzavet to be mechalik his nechasim with him or with another child, meaning he made him like a shutaf in the nechasim. So when he says yachlok, he divides it evenly. When he says tenu chelek, it's a revia. But the Tosefta is talking about that aside from that ploni, there are other sons, and it's as if he's saying ploni should be cholek im nechasai with ploni, 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 me with all my other sons. So then it's going to be that he takes like echad mehem, like any one of the other sons. So anyway, what do we do with this case? So a guy says yachlok ploni bin nechasai is palga. Tenu chelek leploni bin nechasai. So what's the din when he says tenu chelek leploni bin nechasai? Amar Ravina bar Kisi tashema. I'll bring you a raya from a brisa. D'tanya ha'omer tenu chelek leploni bechor. That he says, I want to give a chelek to Ploni. I'm not bechor, bibar. I want to give a chelek to Ploni in my bar. I have a bar mayim that I have, and I want Ploni to get a chelek of it. And we don't know whether chelek is a lashon of chaluka, and he wants to give him half of the bar, or he means some smaller portion of the bar. He wants to give him some percentage. So the halacha is sumchus omer. Ein pachas mervia. You're right, we don't know. And since we don't know, this is what we call mamun hamutl b'safek. And the rule is, mamun hamutl b'safek is cholkin, meaning we don't know what he means. So you give him no less than a revia, than 25% of the water in the bar, plus a mashahu, because we know he meant at least a mashahu, and he could have meant half. So the difference, you split the difference between a mashahu and a half, which leads you to just a smidge over a quarter, right? So that's what you give him. So he gets a little bit over a quarter. Now the Rishonim write in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel and the name of Rav Haigon that the din of sumchus is only when the suffix in the matana, like it's a mashman v'lashon of tenu. But if it's a suffix in a mecher, then the lokeach gets l'fi cheshbon hadamin, based on the value. And the Mukher Yosef writes that even though la halacha we pass like the rabbanan, that you don't bring a raya from mecher from the amount of money that he gave, meaning that the way we would do it is based on we would look at the price if it were a mecher. Meaning there's no other data point if it's a matana. All we know is this guy saying, I want to give this to so-and-so. So we have no way of being able, I don't know what you want to give him. How am I supposed to read your mind to know what you want to give him? But if you say, but if you're selling it to him and he's giving X amount of money, so hadamim ochichin, we could look at how much money he paid and see if the money that he paid matches 25% or matches 2%. or 50%. So that's what they quote from Rav Haigon and Rabbeinu Chananel, that if it were a mecher, it would be different. So that's the ha'ara that they have. Okay, so anyway, so we had said, Tashma, you have this raya that he says, so Sumcha says, you split the difference between what the minimum of what it could have meant and the maximum of what it could have meant. So similarly, if you say, Tnu l'ploni mimea bar l'chavis, you say, let him have some of the water in this bar to fill up a barrel, and we assume that a chavis is used to be mashkebe mosav, a chavis is used to give water to his animals, say in pachas mishminis. Then he gets no less than 1/8 of the bar, and if you say l'kedera, to put into a pot to cook with, ein pachos mishnei masar, then you assume he gets no less than 1/12 of the bar. L'tafiach, if he says that give him some water in the bar so that he could drink, then ein pachos mishisha asar, then he gets no less than 1/16 of the bar. That they knew that that these different lashonos meant a certain percentage, and it could have meant a mashahu, or it could have meant these certain percentages. So we split the difference, and that yields these different fractions of the bar. So what does this have to do with us? So we want to be poshet the shaila that the Gemara had. A guy said, "Tnu chelik l'poni b'nechasai." So the recipient should get 1/4 and a mashahu more, right? Because he may have meant just a mashahu, or he may have meant a half. So you should get 1/4 and a mashahu more. That's the shita of Sumchus, that mamanamutal b'safek is chalkin. So that's how we're miyashev that question. Now the Gemara discusses Tanu Rabbanan, Ben Levi, Shemachar Sadal Yisrael. Let's say you have a Levi that sells his field to a Yisrael, va'amrlo, and the Levi seller says, Almanas Maisa Rishon Shali. I'm selling it to you, Almanas, that the Maisa Rishon that you're going to take from this field is going to come right back to me, and that you don't give it to any other Levi. That I'm your Levi when it comes to Maisa Rishon. So Maisa Rishon Shalom. Halach is that works. The Maisa Rishon, in fact, goes to that Levi. Tosas writes that there's no Isser B'davar in terms of being a Kohen and Messiah B'Beik Sagranos. That Halach is that a Kohen is not allowed to go and be Messiah B'Beik Sagranos to help you on the threshing floor and help you process all your grain, and then say, "No, time for truma," right? And to be the one to receive the truma, that you don't have the issue over here, because since the Levi is cheapening the price for the lokeach from what he otherwise could have charged, he's getting the meiser, so he's being koned the truma for that amount of money, and that's going to lead to a chilul. That's what the chachamim say on the pasuk of Shichatim Bris HaLevi. The reason that that's not a problem over here is because that's not the mechanism that he's using over here. The Gemara is going to explain what the Levi's actually doing is he's being mishayer in the guf hakarka. He's actually not including everything in the sale. He's leaving out of the sale the amount that would correspond to Maisa Rishon. But if I'm giving you a cheaper price for this karka, in order that I can get a kickback, so kickbacks are a problem, right? When it comes to Chumas and Maestros, that's Kohen and Messiah, Bebes HaGranos. That's in fact a problem. V'im Omar, and if the Mocher that makes it tonight with the Lokeach, and he says, I'm selling this to you, Almanas, that the Maestro Rishon will be Li Ulivanai, that it will go to me and to my children, then Mace, if the seller dies, that Levi seller dies, Yiten Labanav, then give the Maestros to his children based on the Tanai that he had set out. V'im Omar Lo, and if the Tanai was that he said that I'm selling you this field, Almanas, that the Maaser Rishon will go, Kolzman Shasada Zo Biyodcha, Kolzman, that this Sada is in your hands, Mechara, and then the buyer went and turned around and sold it to somebody else. But then, V'chazer ulekacha, he went and he bought it back from the guy that he had sold it to, Ein lo alav klum. Then the Levi, meaning the first seller, has no tightness on it to be able to get the Maaser Rishon, because when the initial lokeach had sold it, turned around and sold it, that's it. The zechus of the Levi ran out. And the second lokeach Mashiach was Zocha in the entire field with no strings attached, without any Tanai. So when the first Lokeach went and repurchased it from the guy he had sold it to, so he's able to buy it without strings attached, because that's the way the second guy had it, was without strings attached. The Poskim use this Gemara in a variety of different contexts. One such context is a Sefer Masayad, where he discusses a Maisa Shahaya, where Reuven took a neder to give a certain Moser of Tzedakah a certain amount of money each month, Kolzman, that he maintains his business. And then at some point he traveled to America, and he sold his business to somebody else, so he stopped paying up the neder. And then a number of years later, Reuven bought back his business. He came back from America, and he bought back his business. Now he wants to know, does he have to go back to being Mekayim, that original neder? Or do we assume that the second he sold his business, the neder runs out, and therefore he does not have to go back to be Mekayim the neder? So it's pretty straightforward. Sefer Masayad says, as long as you remember the Gemara, you know, if you see the Gemara in Bambasud of Samach Gimel, it's pretty clear that as soon as it's sold, then that's it. It runs out. And once it runs out, you don't have to, when you go and buy it back, you're not going to have those same conditions. He points out that the Rashba writes, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Ebene Ezer, as well as in Choshen Mishpat, that a guy marries a woman, and he writes that he's going to provide mizonos for her daughter, calls man that they're together, and then they get divorced, and then they get remarried again. He no longer has to support the daughter, because once they got divorced, if the Tanai was that I'm going to support the daughter, calls man that we're married, and then they got divorced, so that Tanai ran out. The fact that when he remarried her, we do not assume it's based on the previous conditions of their marriage. There's also a discussion, we mentioned Kohen Masayeya Bebeis HaGranos, that is there a problem of the Levi saying that here's going to be this field only Almanasa, you gave him back the Maisa Rishon, is that Tosfos raised the question, why isn't that like a Kohen Masayeya Bebeis HaGranos, which we assume is a problem to do? So Tosfos said, no, over here the Levi is leaving out some of the field from the Mechira for himself. He's only being Makna, the Yisrael, the Zuchus, to be Mafresh, that Meiser, for his Peros, but it's not really the Yisrael's. It really belongs to the Levi the entire time. So Rav Vosner in Shut Shevet HaLevi discusses a situation where you had certain coins that were used all the time for Pidyon HaBenin, and the Minhag HaMakom was that the Kohanim of that Makom, whoever needed to be poda their child, would go to the Kohen, would pay cash for these coins, and then the Kohen would have an expectation that you'd do the Pidyon HaBenin with him, so you'd give him the coins right back. So he quotes the sheet of a particular rabbi who said, that's like a Kohen HaMaseya Beis HaGranos. You're going to sell it cheap to the Yisrael because you want him to be opposed to the child with you. And you're not really being machnet to him, Belev Shalem. And aside from that, since the Yisrael is not allowed to do anything with these coins other than a pidyon, so then it's really Kohen HaMaseya Beis HaGranos, because you're doing him a tova and you're selling him dafka so that he'll do this pidyon. So that rabbi wanted to say that the pidyon wouldn't be chal. The bracha is a bracha levatala, and they have to rethink the whole practice that they do. So Rav Vosner writes that no, you don't have to worry about the kohen not being makna b'lev shalem, and therefore there's no problem with the actual pidyon. As far as the chashash of kohen masayeya, he says taka, that's a problem. Even though the Rambam doesn't bring this chashash by kohen masayeya by the din of pidyon aben, and the Chassam Sofer says before from the Rambam that. It seems not to apply by Pidyon HaBen, but the Chachila, the Chassam Sofer also would be choshish for this, and therefore it's not proper. It's not proper that they should do it, that you sell it to him for cheaper with the expectation that he uses Dafka you as the Kohen, because that might have a little bit of a chashash of Kohen HaMasayeh Bebeis HaGranos. So anyway, so back in the Gemara now, so ask the Gemara, what happened over here? The Levi sold you the field, Al Manas, that all the Meiser comes back to him. Amai, why is the Maisa Rishon that the Kona is going to be Mafrish from this field? Why does that go back to the Mocher? You're not allowed to make such a Tanai. Ain't no the Makna Dover Shloba Liolam. You can't be Makna something that doesn't yet exist. And the grain from which he's going to be Mafrish the Maiser, it hasn't even been planted, let alone grown. It doesn't exist. So I answer the Gemara. Kivin da Amrlei, Al Manasa Maiser Rishon Shali, Shiure Shire Limakom Maiser. That since he says it's Al Manasa that the Maiser Rishon comes back to me, he wants to that Tanai to mean something. Say Nachinami, when you say a Tanai like that, it sounds like it's meaningless. It sounds like an impossible Tanai because it's Tanai about something that doesn't exist. So what? We just assume that he's Motzi Dvar Vatala, that he just said something that doesn't mean anything for no reason? No, we assume he means make it work. If there's a halachic mechanism that this can work, that this can actually come back to me, so let's make it work. So we assume that's what he meant, whatever way is going to work halachically. So what's the way that's going to work halachically? That he's leaving a portion of the karka in his own possession. How much of the karka? Whatever grows meiser, whatever grows one tenth of the produce in that karka. That's what we assume. So Reish Lakish learns from his din that a mocher that makes a tanai with a kona to leave a chelik of the mekach for himself, and that tanai is lo malav lo morid, that even without the tanai it would have been that way. And he's not saying anything unless we say that he's trying to that the tanai means something beyond what the words mean. So Reish Lakish is medayik am Reish Lakish, meaning we just said that if the tanai is meaningless in the sense that it can't do anything, so it must be that we make it meaningful, that we have a way of interpreting it la halacha that makes it meaningful. So says Reish Lakish, am Reish Lakish zoso meres, for based on what the Brisa says that whenever the mocher mentions a tanai that cannot be fulfilled because it's not possible, it's a davar shelo b'liolam, unless we're mefarish the tanai in a certain way that makes it work. So I would argue the following: hamocher bayis lechaveru, if a person sells a bayis and perhaps the Rashbam writes a chatzar as well. We'll see why he has to say that. A person sells a bayis and a chatzar to somebody else. Va'amar lo, and the mocher says, Almanas shediyota ha'aliona shali, that I'm making the sale, almanas, that the gag of the bayis, that happens to have a fence around it, a tent to have a fence around it, belongs to me, so diyota ha'aliona shalo, then itaka gets to keep the fence. Well, in my hilchusa, what's Reish Lakish talking about, where this tanai is going to work to keep the roof in his possession? Even without that tanai, the roof remains in his possession. That's what it's said in the Mishnah, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, that if you mocher bayis stam, then a maka that's yeshva, a gag that yeshla maka asar tefachim is not included in the mechira because it has its own tashim from yuchad, it's its own chash of a place, it's automatically not included in the mechira. So why would he have had to have said al menas that the diota aliona is shali? So Rav Zvid, so he must have meant something, right? Otherwise, it's totally extraneous. So Rav Zvid Amar of Zit says that where Reish Lakish meant that the tanai that the mocher makes works, shimrata lahotzi bazizin motzi, that if the mocher wants to build out ledges from that roof, even though it's gonna encroach on the chatzer that he just sold along with this house, he's allowed to do that. Without such a tanai, he would only get the actual rooftop itself, like anyone else who sells a bayis that we assume that the roof is not included if it has a fence around it that's 10 tefachim high. And since he since he went out of his way to say al menas that the diot al yon shali, it must be that he's giving himself more rights in the roof than he otherwise would have had. Those rights are the rights to expand on the roof, to build out ledges from the roof. Rather, even though it encroaches on the neighboring chatzar, which you just sold to this guy. Rav Papa Amar Shemratza Livnos Ali Al Gaba Bona. No, not that he's being giving himself the right to build out zizin. What he meant when he said Al Menas Shadiota Aliona Shali is if that the Diota Aliona falls and he wants to build another one in its place on the house, he's allowed to do that. Now, without that extra tanai, that's mefurash, the halacha would not not be that way. The dota eliona that existed, that he gets to keep, but only so long as it still exists, because that's what's meshubad to the bayis at the time of the mechira. But after it falls down, so the mocher would never be allowed to go and rebuild the gag on top of the bayis of the kona, because that bayis was never meshubad to a different gag, to a different aliyah. So if he said al menash tiyotel liyona shali, that's what he must have meant to include. He must have meant to say that I'm going to have eternal rights to build a diotel yona, to always have a roof over here. So those are the two opinions, Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. The Rav Zvid said, when he says I'm not diotel yona shali, he's maintaining the rights to build a ledge out, to build a balcony. And Rav Papa says that no, it means that he's maintaining the rights that if anything were to happen to this roof, he'll be able to rebuild it. So Bishlam of the Rav Zvid, I understand that if it's about the balcony, that's what he's giving himself the right to do. Hainu diktani zosomeres. I understand why Reish Lakish is able to learn from the Braisa that if someone sells a field to his friend Almanas, that the Maisa Rishon goes back to the Mocher, that extra Lashon means he's leaving himself something in that which he sold, because Mitzad Svara, I would not have assumed you're allowed to be Meshayer for yourself a chelik of that which you're selling to somebody else. El Rav Papa, but according to Rav Papa, that the Yisro Lashon is not really leaving anything for himself, it's only being matir him to build a fallen roof, Maizos Samaris. What's the match? How does that match up with the din of the Maizorishon? Meaning, according to Rav Zvid, where you're saying that I want to maintain the rights to build out into the chatzer, that means it's because you owned the chatzer before you sold it to this guy. You just sold this guy the bayis and the chatzer. So by saying I want to maintain the rights to build a ledge or a balcony out into the chatzer, you're saying I'm not really selling you the chatzer entirely. I'm keeping some of it for myself. Namely, the air rights over this chatzer, I'm keeping for myself. So that's a match. Those two halachos align. That's where you'd say a zosomeres. But according to Rav Papa, that it has nothing to do with what you're keeping for yourself. It's about being able to rebuild if that which is something that fell down. So that's not a zosomeres. That has no resemblance to the halacha about the Maisa Rishon. So kasha, so that's taka kasha on the shita of Rav Papa. The Rashbam points out back on Daf Nun Beis and Beis in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel that the Gemara uses the lashon of kasha in a case where it's not the strongest kasha, meaning tiyufta would mean checkmate, right? Tiyufta would mean that it's completely rejected. Kasha means there's probably some answer, but let's wait till we find the answer before we accept the answer. And then the Ritva quotes the same thing, and he quotes from the Chachmei Provence that they had a mahalich, that every time the Gemara said the word kasha, they would come up with some sort of answer. But whenever the Gemara said tiyufta, they would not try to come up with some sort of answer, because that was the mahalich. That's what the Gemara is indicating to us when it says tiyufta versus when it says kasha. Anyway, so the Gemara discusses the following. Amar Rav Dimi Narda, Haiman demazmele beisa lechavre. A person sells a house to his friend, and he wants to sell the bar, the dos, that are in the chatzar of that bayis, where water gathers. So you need to identify that in the shtar. So Avakav the Kasavlei, even though in the shtar Mechiri he says Umka Varoma, he says the depths and the heights of this bias I am selling to you, the bar and the dus are not included in that Mechira. If you want to include the bar and the dus in the Mechira, Tzarech L'michtavlei, you have to write in addition to Umka Varoma, you have to write Knilach Mitahom Ara Vad Rum Rakia, that you should be Kona from the depths of the ground until the heights of the Rakia. That you have to add that extra Lashon in the shtar, my timer. Why do you have to say mitom ara viadrom rakia? Why isn't the bar and the dos automatically included when you wrote umka veruma? So to umka veruma bistama lokani, because umka veruma, the omek of the bias, is the ability to dig in the karka underneath the bias, and ruma is the height of the bias. That means the roof that has a maka that's 10 tfachim around it, and the airspace, the air rights on the top of the bias ad the rakia. So bistama, without being mefarided in the shtar, that they're included in the mechira lo kani. The lokeach would not be kona those things, and therefore the mocher would still be allowed to dig underneath the house. The mocher would still be allowed to have use of the roof on top of the house, unless you mention it beferish in the shtar mechira. So you needed to write umka veruma without trying to sell the bar vedus. The umka veruma were needed just for other rights in the depths of the land and the heights of the land, absent anything related to the bar vedus. So hani umka veruma lemikna umka veruma. So when you wrote umka veruma, that was matna the umka veruma. So it's not an extra lashon that you're adding into the shtar. So that's why the hani mitomar vadrum rukia lemikna bar vedus mechilos. So that's why when you add the extra, only when you add the extra lashon of mitomar vadrum rukia, only then do we assume that you're actually being magnetim the bar, the dos, the mechilos, the other things that are already dug into the ground. Mechilos pashtos means existing tunnels underneath the ground. So says Mar Lein Sayeli. Maybe we could bring a raya to Rav Dimi from that which we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf, that if someone sells a house, we say lo es habar velo es hados. Afal pishakasav lo umka veruma. That when you sell a house, we assume you are not including the bar, you are not including the dos. Even if you say umka veruma, but v'isal kadaitach bistama kani umka veruma lahani umka veruma lemiknam bar vedus mechilos. But if you were to assume not like Rav Dimi, you were to assume that umka veruma includes that even without saying umka veruma, it automatically includes umka veruma. So then when you add the words umka veruma, it must mean that you're including bar vedus. So you see from the fact that it says that the Mishnah says lo es habar velo es hados, that the bar and the dos are not automatically included, even though you wrote umka veruma, it must be that umka veruma is not something that's automatic. Umka veruma is something that needs to be spelled out, and therefore, if you also want to be makna the bar vados, you need to say something in addition to umka veruma. So you say mitomara v'adromukis, something some additional lashon. So says Mar, no, maybe the Mishnah is talking about to lo kasavle, that the mocher did not write in the shtar Omko v'govo of the bias. I'm selling you the omek and the gova of this house, and that's why the bar vedos are not included in the mechira. But maybe had he just written omko veruma, that Mishnah would agree that it would include bar vedos. So it says, what? The Mishnah says, v'afal pi shekosav lo umka veruma machulach katani. It says in the Mishnah, even if he writes umka veruma. So don't tell me that Mishnah is talking about where he didn't write umka veruma, and that's why bar vedos were not included. But had he written umka veruma, bar vedos would have been included. It said, beferish afal pi shekosav lo. Even though he wrote that umka veruma, still the bar vedos are not included. So it says, no. It could be that the Mishnah is talking about where the mocher did not write umka veruma. It says afal pi shekasav lo. I got to reinterpret the whole thing. Hachi kamar. What the Talmud meant to say is as follows: that since the omek of the bias and the gova of the bias is similar to the bias in the way that it is used, so it's included in the house. Afal pi shelo kasav lo. Even though the mocher never said beferish, umka v'govo of the bias is included in the sale, because of course it's included in the sale. That's the way the house is. It's used the same way the rest of the house is used. Kimi shekasav dami lemikno umka veruma. It's as if you wrote it in terms of being kona the omek and the gova of the house. But the mikna bar vedus mechilos. But if you want to also be kona a bar full of water and the dos and the mechilos, which are not included in the house because they have a different shimush than the rest of the house, then ikasav le umka veruma kani lo kasav lo kani. Then only if you wrote umka veruma is it actually kona. If you did not write umka veruma, it's not kona. A radical reinterpretation of the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says lo sabar v'lo sadus afal pishkas of lo umka veruma. So we're saying no, it doesn't mean that. It means that if you don't write umka veruma, it automatically includes umka veruma, and therefore therefore you need to write umka veruma if you want to be kona the bar and the dus. So what the Mishnah really means to say is that someone who sells a house stam does not sell the bar and the dus with it, even though he writes in the shtar a lashon that would have included umka veruma. Aval bishkasav doesn't mean he actually writes umka veruma. It means he wrote the shtar in a lashon that would have automatically included umka veruma. What's the lashon that automatically includes umka veruma? Nothing. Where you just say you're selling the bias. So that would include umka veruma, but would not include bar vidus. If you then actually write umka veruma, then that includes bar vidus as well. So Tashima says, let's try to bring another raya to Rav Dimi. The Mishnah had said on Daf Samach Aleph that if a person sells a bayis stam, he does not sell the yatzia, which is the little shed, and the cheder, that's lefnim in the bayis, velo es hagag bizman sheyesh l'maka gavoa asara tfachim, nor is he selling the roof if the roof has a maka that's 10 tfachim high around it. And by the gag, it doesn't say in the Mishnah, even though he says umka, it doesn't say avagav shekosav lo umka veruma. So it sounds like all you said is bayza ani mochalach. If you assume umka veruma, that bistam, the guy is kona umka veruma as well, kigavoa asar tfachim, my havi. What difference does it make that it's 10 tfachim tall? Why is it not included in the mechira? So you see that if you don't, in a case where you don't explicitly say that you're including umka veruma, the height of the house is not included in the mechira, and therefore he's not kona, the gag that has a makra of asar tfachim, nor the avir from asar tfachim and above. So similarly, it's mistaver that he's not kona the omek of the bias, unless you say it's straight out in the shtar, and that is the sheet of Rav Dimi. So it's Gemara, no, kivin degavah asar tfachim chashiv, that since the makra is 10 tfachim, the gag is considered its own separate bias, and it's not batel to the bias underneath it, and that's why it's not included in the mechira, unless you mention beferish that you are selling umka veruma. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with Amalei Ravina, the Rav Ashi. Everyone have a great day.